Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the man who calls it right down the middle. Dion Tyree Gordon, enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. It's been a while. Well, it's been a week, but I was trying to figure out what to even talk about because you're in the sort of, I want to say, doldrums of the sports calendar where there really isn't too much going on. Football season just ended. I mean, you still have the offseason. You got the combine coming up on March 1st. You got the official league year beginning on March 16th. So there's always something to talk about in football. And trust me, I will have plenty to talk about in regards to the National Football League coming forward in the coming weeks. However, right now, the focus of this particular podcast is on the NBA. In particular, more specifically, the NBA Top 75 list that came out before the season started, but was further magnified this past weekend during the NBA All-Star Weekend. NBA All-Star festivities went down in Cleveland, Ohio. The skills competition, which to me is a complete waste of time. I assume that if you're in the NBA, if you're a player in the National Basketball Association, I assume that you already know how to dribble a basketball and shoot a basketball and pass a basketball. So to me, the skills competition is a complete waste of time. But the biggest waste of time, and this is long overdue, we need to abolish the NBA dunk contest. What the fuck was that? Are you kidding me? Were they serious with that? That was a complete abortion of a dunk contest. Vince Carter is turning over in his grave right now. That was disrespectful. Dominique Wilkins is somewhere throwing up. Julius Irvin, the doctor. Dr. Julius Irvin was in attendance. He was a judge for this fucking abomination of a dunk contest. If you're going to waste a 72-year-old man's time, if you're going to keep a 72-year-old man up past his bedtime, at least make it worthwhile. At least make a dunk. The stats came out for this dunk contest after it was over. These guys combined, all four men in this dunk competition, Obi Toppin, Juan Toscano-Anderson from the Golden State Warriors, Cole Anthony from the Orlando Magic, the son of Greg Anthony, and some other dude, I forgot. I don't even know who the fourth man was in this dunk contest. Don't even matter. Who cares? These guys were a combined 18 out of 50 for an abysmal 27%. In the dunk contest, these guys were in the dunk contest putting up numbers like Russell Westbrook taking a three-pointer. It was that bad. It was that bad. It was awful, atrocious, abysmal, a complete waste of time. This was pitiful, preposterous, a complete waste of time. There's no other way to say it. This sucked. This was unnecessary. You think about the great dunk contest from the past. The showdown in 88 in Chicago with Dominique Wilkins and the great Michael Jordan. You think about 86 before that, Spud Webb in Dallas winning the dunk contest. You think about a young Kobe Bryant with the Afro in 96 or 97 in Cleveland winning the dunk contest. You think about Vince Carter, the aforementioned Vince Carter in Oakland, California, the home at formerly Oracle Arena. Or whatever it was called in 2000, whatever corporate sponsor put their name on it in the year 2000, was the greatest performance in dunk contest history. That night, he shut it down. There were guys, myself included, there were teenagers all over the country trying to dunk and put their arm in the rim because of Vince Carter. How many people probably broke their arm in the name of Vince Carter? Who knows? 2016, the more recent example. Levine, Aaron Gordon, no relation, putting on a show for the ages. These guys, that was the last great dunk contest. Zach Levine, Aaron Gordon, ever since then, it's been completely irrelevant. It has gotten worse by the year, and there's no need for this anymore. Just pack it up and get rid of it. Replace the dunk contest with a game of horse. You can replace the dunk contest with a WNBA layup contest. That might actually be better. A bunch of 5'10" dyke bitches trying to lay it up. That might be better than what you saw last Saturday night in Cleveland in that dunk contest. That disgrace, that embarrassment of a dunk contest, that was awful. I don't know what was worse, the NFL Pro Bowl or the NBA Slam Dunk Contest. a professional two-hand touch game, the most athletic two-hand touch football game you'll ever see, or the most missed dunks in a dunk contest with professional basketball players that you will ever see. I don't know what was worse, to be honest. I'm being truthful with that. I don't know what was worse, the dunk contest or the NFL Pro Bowl, a gathering of football players not playing football, or a gathering of basketball players not dunking a basketball in a slam dunk contest. Get both of them the fuck out of here. I would rather watch Joe Biden recite the Declaration of Independence than watch the NFL Pro Bowl or the NBA slam dunk contest. We hold these truths to be self-evident, and you know the thing. Thanks a lot, President Corn Pop. You're an American hero. Anyway, back to the NBA All-Star Weekend. The game, first of all, before I get to the game, the three-point shootout, Karl Anthony Towns, the big man from the Minnesota Timberwolves, won that competition. Salute to him. That was good. I have nothing wrong or derogatory to say about the three-point shootout. That was fine. That has now become the highlight of All-Star Weekend. The dunk contest used to be the highlight of All-Star Weekend, but with more and more superstars backing out LeBron, who promised he would do the dunk contest over a decade ago, told the late, great Craig Sager, I will be in the dunk contest next year when it was going to be at AT&T Stadium, Jerry World in Arlington, Texas. Over 100,000 people were going to show up to watch this NBA All-Star Weekend. And LeBron James, the biggest star in the sport, or one of the biggest stars in the sport at that time, told the late, great Craig Sager, I'll be in that dunk contest. And a year later, he reneged on that. Didn't follow his word, didn't hold up to his word, and didn't show up or participate in the NBA slam dunk contest. So if superstar players don't want to be in a dunk contest anymore, and it's going to go the way it's going now with nondescript, run-of-the-mill, rudimentary, also-ran, basic, six-man, average, role-playing type dudes in the dunk contest, and this is what we get, what we got last Saturday night, with four men going to combine 18 out of 50 and bricking dunks and airballing dunks and trying to go between their legs and tripping and falling out of bounds. If that's what we're going to get, it shouldn't even go on last anymore. The three-point shootout should go on last. The three-point shootout should end NBA All-Star Saturday night. The dunk contest is done. Pack it up, forget about it. Or get some of those brothers from Ball Is Life, some of those Jordan, Kilcannon, whatever the fuck his name is, that white boy that can dunk. Get some guys like that in the competition. Those guys coming up with never-before-seen dunks between the legs, windmill, tomahawk, off the scoreboard from the parking lot, off of one leg, off of no legs, dodging bullets, jumping over a clown car, taking off from the other free throw line, whatever. These crazy, creative-ass dunks that you're seeing on these other platforms, get some of those guys to jump in the mix. Get some of those guys to be in a dunk contest. The three-point shootout should close it out. If you're not going to get guys like that, if you're not going to have a compelling dunk contest worth watching, then just close it out with a three-point shootout. But that was the three-point shootout was fine. The dunk contest was trash. Now we go to Saturday night, and we get, first of all, the gathering of the top 75 players all time in NBA history is voted on by a panel, NBA writers, etc. This was special. This was the history of the sport congregating in Cleveland, Ohio. This was a momentous occasion. If you're an NBA historian like myself, if you're a sports nerd like myself, you had to appreciate this. You saw on the same court, in the same building, the same moment, the same photo opportunity, Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You saw Steph Curry, Wardell Stephen Curry, and Magic Johnson. You saw Chris Paul and John Stockton. You saw Giannis Antetokounmpo and Shaquille O'Neal. You saw the history of the sport right in front of you. Now, there are a few guys who were conspicuous by their absence. Of course, the late, great, our dear ancestor, Kobe Bean Bryant, unfortunately, wasn't there. And, there was a photo op with all the Lakers who made the top 75 list where LeBron was included Jerry West, James Worthy, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But the one guy that was missing was Kobe. And Shaquille O'Neal was in this too. Kobe was missing, though. And that was, honestly, that broke my heart. That really did. That made me sad when I saw that photo of the Laker photo op of the Lakers who made the top 75 list. Being a Laker fan and being a basketball nerd and a basketball historian, when I saw Jerry West and James Worthy and Magic and LeBron and Shaq and Kareem, also Elgin Baylor, not a part of that, and Wilt Chamberlain too. Let's give those men their flowers as well. Rest in peace to both of them. But with all due respect to Wilt and Elgin Baylor, two of the greatest basketball players who ever played this sport, I didn't grow up watching them. I didn't see them play. I don't know. I know about them, but I don't know about them, if you understand what I'm trying to say. But Kobe was a guy I watched. Kobe was a guy I grew up seeing and witnessed. I witnessed Kobe Bryant. I saw him. I followed the trajectory of his career from his rookie season when he was airballing shots in the playoffs against the Utah Jazz to his last game in the NBA where he scored 60 points against the Utah Jazz, dropped the mic and said, I'm out. I watched everything in between. I watched Kobe Bryant and his beautiful, illustrious, glorious career. And to see him not there and not be a part of that photo op and not be there physically in person for that top 75 moment. They brought out Vanessa and they showed him on the video screen. They acknowledged him. Of course they're going to acknowledge him. He's Kobe Bean Bryant. You have to acknowledge him. But it was sad. It was a gut punch. It was heartbreaking. And, you know, it's been 2 years since Kobe died. And it still feels like it didn't happen. Like, it's not real, right? Like, Kobe's not really dead, is he? It still feels surreal to even talk about that, to say it out loud, that Kobe Bryant is no longer with us. Like, it doesn't register. There's something about that. Like, it's surreal. That's the best word to use for it. It doesn't seem right. Kobe Bryant is not here anymore. And, man, that's sad. That really is sad. Kobe's not here. Gigi's not here anymore. You know, she was 13 when that crash happened. That probably is the biggest tragedy I've ever seen for me personally. And that sounds kind of ridiculous because I witnessed 9/11 when I was a sophomore in high school and things like that. And for whatever reason, that didn't compute with me the same way Kobe's death did. Because I didn't know those people. If that makes any sense, if I'm speaking out of turn, if I sound ridiculous saying that, let me know. But those were just regular, everyday, average people. And that's a fucked up tragedy. No one should die that way. But I didn't know those people. I didn't grow up watching those people play basketball every day. I didn't set my alarm clock living in Frederick, Maryland when I got off work at 4:30 or 5 o'clock to wake up at 9:30 or 10 o'clock to watch them play basketball the same way I did Kobe Bean Bryant. I would get off work, go home, take a quick nap, set my alarm clock to 9:30 or 10 o'clock so I can get up and watch the Laker game. That was the late West Coast game for me living in Maryland that came on at 10:30 at night, just so I could see the Lakers play and specifically to see Kobe Bryant play. So when Kobe died, that for me personally, that was the biggest public tragedy I ever witnessed. And in some ways, in a lot of ways, it's almost like I haven't gotten over it. And it sounds ridiculous to say that because this is someone I never met. This is a celebrity. This is someone I had no relationship with other than being a fan and being a spectator and watching him play basketball both on television and in person. I think I mentioned this before on previous podcasts. When I lived in Maryland, when the Lakers would show up in town to play against the Washington Wizards, I would always go watch the Lakers play. It's my favorite team, and Kobe's my favorite player. And I always go down to Washington, D.C., get on the D.C. Metro, take the green line or the red line, whichever. It's been a while. But whatever line it was, from Shady Grove Metro Station all the way down to Gallery Plaza, Chinatown, in downtown Washington, D.C., and watch Kobe Bryant apply his craft at the highest level possible. and put on a show and play basketball. And this was about seven straight consecutive years. I would just always, because the Lakers only came to Washington once a year. They play each other twice a year. The Wizards sucked, so there's no chance of them making the playoffs. So it's only two times a year the Wizards are going to play the Lakers. So whenever they came to Washington, for that one time out of the season, I had to go see Kobe play. I had to. No matter what else was going on with me, I didn't care. I would go look at the schedule. Okay, the Lakers are going to play the Wizards on this day. Whatever I'm doing, who cares? I'm going to see Kobe play basketball, and I'm going to see the Laker game when they come in town to play against the Washington Wizards. That's just what it was. So for me, needless to say, I'm a Kobe Bryant fan. And, you know, I bring it back to All-Star Weekend, not seeing him there and not seeing him a part of that Laker great photo op and not seeing him out there with the other men who made up that top 75 team. It was heartbreaking. It was sad. It was a gut punch. And it was so many things. It made me emotional almost on some levels. It made me emotional. I don't mind saying that. It made me emotional to not see Kobe be out there physically in a human form, still with us, still alive, still above ground, and not just in spirit. It made me emotional. It really did. It made me emotional to not see Kobe Bryant out there and to see instead his picture up on the video screen and with that little caption that says 1978 to 2020. And it's still to this day, even right now, as I'm speaking into this microphone, as I'm doing this podcast right now, it's still surreal to me for Kobe Bryant to not be here with us. And that was my honest and visceral reaction to seeing that, to not seeing Kobe Bryant there in Cleveland, Ohio on Sunday night for the All-Star game. I think I said Saturday earlier, but it was Sunday night, the game itself. The great Bill Russell was also not there physically in attendance. Bill Russell's about 85, 86 years old. Understandably so, did not want to fly to Cleveland due to COVID, apprehension about COVID and COVID-19 and everything. So, yeah, understandably so. But it was still, you know, you're used to seeing Bill Russell at all these, at the All-Star game, at the NBA Finals. Whatever big NBA event is going on, you're used to, you're accustomed to seeing the great Bill Russell. That's a part of his name, by the way. You have to say it that way. You can't just say Bill Russell. You're obligated to say, you're required to say the great Bill Russell, because that's who he is, and that's who he still is. That's who he was, that's who he still is, the great Bill Russell. So the great Bill Russell, unfortunately, was not in attendance for this. But even with the great Bill Russell and the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant not physically being there, it was still cool to see all these legends in attendance and, for the most part, getting along with each other. Isaiah Thomas is still holding on to his bitter grudge against Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen did not show up. Same thing, bitter grudge against Michael Jordan. Karl Malone did not show up. Apparently, Quicken Loans Arena, the home of the Cleveland Cavaliers, is a little bit too close to a local nearby Chuck E. Cheese or a daycare or some place where small children gather at. And since Karl Malone is a pedophile, he can't go to places like that. But nevertheless, we persist and we move on. Awesome seeing the gathering of the legends, the game itself, a good game, back and forth. Now, of course, it's the All-Star game. Guys are going to come out, kind of fucking around, not really taking that seriously for the first two and a half or three quarters in the game. A lot of wide open dunks and no defense whatsoever being played. Fourth quarter, it got serious. It got real. First three quarters, though, Steph Curry put on a show. Steph Curry made about, I don't know, 15 or 16 threes in this game. Some crazy number. Scored 50 points, pulling up from the logo. I've said this before, I'll say it again. That is my favorite player in the NBA. So when I speak about certain guys, you're going to hear some bias. I'll be the first one to admit that. Steph Curry is my favorite player currently active in the National Basketball Association. He is everything. He is the most box office must-see player in the National Basketball Association, with Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies being a close second. It can go back and forth. It could be 1 and 2 depending on what day it is, but Steph Curry is worth the price of admission. He put on a dazzling display of three-point marksmanship and shooting ability in this game. He set the world on fire on Sunday night. Now, the format of the All-Star game, for those who are unaware, is no longer a team, the East Coast versus the West Coast, no longer the Eastern Conference versus the Western Conference. In recent years, they switched to a player format. So it's Team LeBron versus Team Durant. Durant did not play due to a knee injury, and also his grandmother passed away the day before the game. Condolences go out to Kevin Durant and his family. I know all too well what it means to lose a grandmother like that. Something else I still think about every day. So, Kevin Durant, I'm thinking about you. I know, like I said, I know exactly what you're going through. It definitely hurts to lose someone like that, someone that you're close to. But it was Team LeBron and Team Durant. Team LeBron is actually 5-0 ever since they went to this format, and they won this game. When it got to, I think it was 139 to about 137 going into the fourth quarter. They play it by quarters, but they still tally up all the points throughout the course of the game. So the new format is whoever has the lead at the end of three quarters, they're going to tally on 24 points to that. And that's the goal. That's the benchmark for the game. That's the winning score, basically. In honor of Kobe Bryant, they add on 24 points to whatever the leading team, the winning team has, and that's going to be your destination. Whoever gets to that number, that point total first, is going to win the game. I like this new format. It's made guys play hard. It's made guys play serious and take it serious going into the fourth quarter. And it's given us a pretty good All-Star game. That was a great fourth quarter. That was a great finish. And it culminated with LeBron James, the hometown kid, I guess. He's from Akron, but he played a long time in Cleveland. Might go back to Cleveland. Hopefully he does. But it ended with LeBron James hitting the game-winning shot to win the game for Team LeBron. And it was a fantastic finish. It was wonderful. It was good, compelling television. It saved the day and rescued the NBA from that abysmal abortion abomination of a dunk contest the day previous. So we end on a high note. We have Sunday night couldn't have been any better. Well, it could have been if certain people were there, but the gathering of the legends and seeing all these guys and all the fun and excitement that comes with that, and the actual game itself and the show that Steph Curry put on and LeBron making the game-winning shot. If you're in the NBA, if you're Adam Silver, if you're all the executives that work for TNT and everything else, that game couldn't have gone any better. That was a perfect game, a perfect finish. You couldn't ask for more. Great game. But now let's get to the crux of the matter. Let's get to the reason for this podcast. I say all that to say this. I got to give my 2 cents about this top 75 list, because I've seen some people saying some absolutely asinine things about this top 75 list. There's some people on this list who I don't think personally should be on this list. There's some people not on this list who I do think should be on this list. Everyone's got their opinion. Allow me to share mine. Now, first things first, let's go ahead and state, for those who don't know, all 75 men who comprise this top 75 NBA list. This is the 75th anniversary of the NBA, and to commemorate the 75th anniversary of the National Basketball Association, on October 21st, 2021, the NBA put out an official list of the top 75 players in NBA history as voted on by players and executives and broadcasters and sports writers and WNBA legends and coaches, general managers, a blue ribbon panel of people closely associated with the National Basketball Association voted on this list. Here now are the players on this list. 11 active players: Giannis Antetokounmpo, Carmelo Anthony, Stephen Curry, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, James Harden, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, and Russell Westbrook. all 50 members of the NBA's 50th anniversary team, which was named in 1996, have been selected to the 75th anniversary team. The 75th anniversary team includes four players who played in the first NBA All-Star game in 1951, Paul Arizin, Bob Cousy, George Mikan, and Dolph Shays. The first winner of the Kia NBA Most Valuable Player Award, Bob Pettit, of the 1955-1956 season, and the first winner of the Bill Russell NBA Finals MVP Award, Jerry West, for the 1969 NBA Finals. Bill Russell joins Cousy, Mikan, and Pettit as the only four players who have been named to all four NBA anniversary teams, the 25th anniversary team, the 35th anniversary team, the 50th anniversary team, and the 75th anniversary team. Six international players from six countries and territories have been named to the 75th anniversary team. Giannis Antetokounmpo from Greece, Tim Duncan from the U.S. Virgin Islands, Patrick Ewing from Jamaica, Steve Nash from Canada, Dirk Nowitzki from Germany, and Hakeem Olajuwon from Nigeria. In alphabetical order, here now is all 75 men who comprise the NBA's 75th anniversary team. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Ray Allen, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Carmelo Anthony, Nate Tiny Archibald, Paul Arizin, Charles Barkley, Rick Barry, Elgin Baylor, Dave Bing, Larry Bird, the late great Kobe Bean Bryant, Wilt Chamberlain, Bob Cousy, Dave Cowens, Billy Cunningham, Wardell Stephen Curry, Anthony Davis, Dave DeBuscher, Clyde Drexler, Tim Duncan, Kevin Durant, Julius Irvin, Patrick Ewing, Walt Clyde Frazier, Kevin Garnett, the Iceman, George Gervin, Hal Greer, James Harden, John Havlicek, Elvin Hayes, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Sam Jones, the GOAT, Michael Jordan, Jason Kidd, Allen Iverson, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, Jerry Lucas, Karl Malone, Moses Malone, P. Maravich, Bob McAdoo, Kevin McHale, George Mikan, Reggie Miller, Earl the Pearl Monroe, Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon, Robert Parrish, Chris Paul, Gary Payton, Bob Pettit, Paul Pierce, Scottie Pippen, Willis Reed, Oscar Robertson, David Robinson, Dennis Rodman, Bill Russell, Dolph Shays, Bill Sharman, John Stockton, Isaiah Thomas, Nate Thurman, Wes Unseld, late great Wes Unseld, Dwayne Wade, Bill Walton, Jerry West, Russell Westbrook, Lenny Wilkins, Dominique Wilkins, and James Worthy. Take a deep breath. Those 75 men make up the 75th anniversary team of the National Basketball Association. I have a few objections. Maybe you could tell by the inflection of my voice that I might not be so comfortable with Damian Lillard being a top 75 player. Listen, he's a great player. I got a lot of respect and appreciation for his game, but is he top 75 of all time? I'll go ahead. I'll toss a name out right now. Is Damian Lillard all time better than Tracy McGrady, who did not make this list? Tracy McGrady is not on this list. McGrady is a 7-time All-Star. Lillard is a 6-time All-Star. McGrady is a 2-time first-team All-NBA player. Lillard made it one time in 2018. Now, you can say, now, as far as playoff success is concerned, neither man ever won a championship. Dame at least got to a conference final in 2019 where Portland got swept by the Golden State Warriors. Tracy McGrady never even made it that far, but Tracy McGrady, I think, played, you know, his prime years were in Houston, and that was a more treacherous Western Conference. I don't know. I feel like it's splitting hairs. Like, I'm not that upset about Lillard being a top 75 player, but at the same time, I don't know. How do you want to quantify this? I feel like McGrady was an overall better player. Lillard, I guess if we're going off who had the better career than Lillard, yeah, he had a slightly better career than Tracy McGrady. If you're asking me who would I start a basketball team with, well, of course, give me the guy that's 6'9 over the guy that's 6'1 or 6 feet. But I don't know. There's something that I don't know. For some reason, that just stood out to me. I'm like, is Damian Lillard better than Tracy McGrady? Should McGrady be on that list? I mean, first of all, as far as the older guys are concerned, the Bob Pettits, the Dolph Shays, the Paul Arizons, George Mikan, guys from that era, those, on one hand, those are the forefathers of the league, right? Those guys laid the foundation. They were the first ever NBA stars. You don't have an NBA if not for those men. On the other hand, they played in an era that predates the civil rights movement. How great were they, really? Couldn't they measure up? That's the thing. I mean, these lists are made for debate and scrutiny and banter and conversations such as this. You know, how do you quantify who was a top 75 player? Because you can't just disrespect and disregard guys who played back in the 1950s because of the limited athleticism. You know, these guys predate color television. Like I said, they predate the civil rights movement. So it's hard. You can't disrespect those guys, but at the same time, it's hard to say that a guy like Dolph Shays is better than Tracy McGrady or Bernard King or Alex English or Alonzo Mourning or Klay Thompson or Kyrie Irving, guys, or Dwight Howard, guys who were snubbed from the list. So out of respect to those guys and the era that they played in and for them laying the foundation of the league, I'll leave them alone. But I'll talk about a guy like Lillard because he plays in the modern era just like Tracy McGrady did. And I don't know, for some reason, like, that just stood out to me. Is Damian Lillard really a top 75 NBA player of all time? It's kind of like, for me, I look at the top 75 as being the gatekeepers of the sport. And what I mean by that is, if we're going to have a conversation about NBA basketball, if we're going to tell the story of the sport, can we or can we not leave out such and such player? If we're telling the story of the National Basketball Association, can we accurately tell that story without mentioning such and such player? Can we tell the story of the NBA without mentioning Damian Lillard? Can we tell that story without mentioning Tracy McGrady? I feel like if you're going to tell the story of the NBA, you're going to mention Tracy McGrady before you get to Damian Lillard. But that's just my opinion. I mean, these top 75 lists or any kind of list in general is all subjective. It's all based on opinions and feelings and your own personal preference and thoughts. But for me personally, based on that, with that point being made, I would say McGrady was a better player than Damian Lillard. Take your pick. I mean, I think what hurts Lillard's case for a lot of people, because a lot of people feel this way, is that Dame plays in Portland. He plays up there in the Pacific Northwest, out in the middle of nowhere. So, I mean, his games are on TV, but at the same time, I mean, it's Portland. There's not a whole lot of talk about the Portland Trailblazers. The playoff success, they've had some runs. They've also gotten swept by the New Orleans Pelicans one year in the first round. At the same time, you know, McGrady, when he was playing for Orlando, said it feels great to be in the second round of the playoffs and then lost two games in a row to the Detroit Pistons and didn't make the second round of the NBA playoffs. So it's like, you don't have a lot of playoff success to talk about. It's all kind of regular season success. And going back to the point I already made, if one guy won a scoring championship and was a first-team All-NBA player more than the other guy, I got to lean toward that guy's favor. I got to say that guy was a slightly better player and slightly more deserving of being on the top 75 list than the others. Splitting hairs, I'm not upset about Damian Lillard being top 75. I'm just making a point. Tracy McGrady, to me, was better than Damian Lillard was. Either way, another one, this one really bothers me, though. I will say this. Anthony Davis versus Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard belongs on that top 75 list over Anthony Davis by almost every single metric. When a team was built around Anthony Davis, they got out of the first round one time. And I just mentioned that when they beat Portland in the first round in 2018. When a team was built around Anthony Davis, when he was the centerpiece, the focal point of the basketball team, when a team was built around Dwight Howard, they eliminated LeBron James from the playoffs and got to the NBA Finals. The 2009 Orlando Magic was built around Dwight Howard. Dwight in the middle, surrounded by a bunch of capable three-point outside shooters. Hedo Turkoglu, Rashawn Lewis, Jameer Nelson, Courtney Lee, Rafer Alston, J.J. Redick. Guys like that, Stan Van Gundy as the head coach. That team got to the NBA Finals. Anthony Davis in New Orleans, with teams built around him, never got past the second round of the playoffs. People forget. People look at Dwight as being a goofball and being, you know, a clown, an idiot, and being injury prone and bouncing from different teams over the years. The back nine of his career hasn't been that great. He's played for almost half the NBA by this point. But the front nine, the first couple years of his career, cannot be ignored. We're talking about an eight-time NBA All-Star, a five-time All-NBA first-team player from 2008 to 2012. We're talking about a two-time All-NBA third-team player, one time on the second team, a three-time defensive player of the year, four-time NBA All-Defensive first team, rookie team. Five times he led the league in rebounds. Two times he led the NBA in blocks. Won a dunk contest. And as I said, when a team was built around him, he carried them to the NBA Finals. Now, they lost in five games to my beloved LA Lakers. But still, that's farther than Anthony Davis ever got when he was the focal point, the number one guy, the centerpiece, the face of the franchise. Anthony Davis had to leave New Orleans and go to Los Angeles and align himself with LeBron James to win a championship. Dwight Howard, well, he was on that team too. That's the funny part about it. Dwight Howard was on that team as a reserve, as a backup. But still, I would say that Dwight Howard in his prime was better than Anthony Davis in his prime. Dwight Howard, for about a 5-6 year run, was the best big man in the NBA in that late 2000s, early 2010s decade. In that run, he was the best at his position and the best big man in the league. Anthony Davis, I mean, he can claim that as well, but I mean, his accolades are nothing to sneeze at either. He's also an eight-time NBA All-Star. He also, you know, led the league in blocks three times, All-Defensive second team, two-time NBA All-Defensive first team, but that's not as many as Dwight, and he never won Defensive Player of the Year. Dwight won that three times. Maybe I'm just being nitpicky. I mean, Anthony Davis's career is nothing to sneeze at. Right now, he's always hurt. These days, AD stands for always disabled, but he's had a great career. I just don't think that all time he's better than prime Dwight Howard, and that's just my opinion because, once again, prime Dwight Howard led a team to a champion, led a team to the NBA Finals, not a championship, led a team to the NBA Finals. Prime Anthony Davis never led a team past the second round. To me, that counts. To me, that means something. When you built a team around one dude, he almost won you a championship. When you built the team around the other dude, he got you out of the first round one time. Dwight Howard's five-time first-team All-NBA selections are more than half the people on the top 75 list. Is it recency bias? Are we going off, like I said, the back nine of his career? The past decade hasn't been that great. He's been beaten up and beset by injuries. He had a cup of coffee with random-ass teams. He played for the Hawks for a little bit, for the Wizards for one season, been with the Lakers twice, Philadelphia. He's been here, there, and everywhere, and his personality, his demeanor kind of put some people off. You know, he's kind of, like I said, a goofy dude for most of his career. A lot of guys, a lot of people just didn't like him. A lot of fans just didn't like him or still don't like him. But to me, that's neither here nor there. If you've made the first team All-NBA more times than half the people on the top 75 list, then you should be on that list. If you're a three-time defensive player of the year, you led the NBA in rebounding five times, you should be on that list. The 8 years that Dwight had in Orlando should qualify him and quantify him to be on that top 75 list. And I'll stand by that. And this is someone who doesn't even, I wouldn't consider myself to be a fan of Dwight Howard. He's not my favorite player. He's never even been one of my favorite players. I've also said he was a goofball and kind of a clown and an idiot for most of his career. But still, you got to recognize game when you see it. This guy was a force of nature for 8 years in Orlando. To me, that's one of the more glaring omissions and snubs from the top 75 list is Dwight Howard not being on it. There are some people who have issue with Dennis Rodman being top 75 on this list or being in the top 75. I look at it like this. If you are unquestionably the best at a particular skill out of everyone who ever played NBA basketball, if you can dominate a game without even scoring a point, you should be on that list. There's no question about that. A two-time defensive player of the year, a five-time champion, and a guy who everywhere he went, they won, except for the later stages of his career when he was older and he went to Dallas and went to the Los Angeles Lakers. But in his prime, if you had a Rodman on your team, you were going to win probably. You were going to be a good, contending basketball team. So, yeah, like I said, if you can go out there and score no points, but get like 23 rebounds and guard the other team's best big man or guard the other team's best guard. Rodman was so versatile, he could guard all positions 1 through 5. He definitely belongs on this list. I've heard people saying that Reggie Miller has no issue, has no business being on this list. I fucking hate people, man. I really just don't like people anymore. People just... Social media has given people a platform to say anything, to publicly embarrass yourself on a daily fucking basis. There are people out there who object to Reggie Miller being a top 75 player. Do you watch basketball or do you just skim through it? Reggie Miller was the second best shooting guard of the 1990s, second only to the greatest basketball player who ever played basketball. Reggie Miller was the all-time three-point leader as far as three-point shots made until the greatest shooter of all time came along and broke his record about 20, 25 years later. Are people just fucking crazy or are people just fucking stupid? Which one is it? How could you possibly think that Reggie Miller is not a top 75 player? What drugs are you on? Bath salts? Computer keyboard spray? Fentanyl? What the fuck is it? Are you a pissed off, bitter, jilted Knicks fan who can't get over the torment that Reggie Miller gave your team in the mid-90s? Scoring 8 points in 8 seconds, 25 points in the fourth quarter, destroying your team single-handedly. You're talking about Indiana Pacers teams that had guys like Hayward Workman and Vern Fleming, a very old Byron Scott. Rick Smith's a serviceable big man, but not an all-star, not a perennial all-star at least. Put it like this. There's no one else from those mid to late 90s Pacers teams that made the top 75, and yet those teams contended for a championship every single year. That 98 Pistons team pushed the Bulls about as far as they ever got pushed. They went to 7 games. It was a tough, hard-fought battle, knockdown, drag-out, slobber knocker of a series. And the Bulls emerged victorious, but the Pacers gave them everything they could possibly ask for. And there's only one guy from that 98 Indiana Pacer team that's on that top 75 list, and his name is Reggie Miller. No one else. The dude never had another elite player as a teammate in their prime and still got to either the Eastern Conference semifinals or the Eastern Conference finals or in 2000, the NBA finals, being the number one guy on the team. If you don't think that Reggie Miller is worthy of being a top 75 player, you are a fucking idiot. Now, one guy who I'm a huge fan of this guy. I love this dude. I think he's one of the more entertaining personalities in all of basketball. I've been a fan of his as a commentator for as long as I've been watching basketball as a kid in the mid-90s. I think very highly of this guy. But if we're talking about NBA accolades and what you did as a professional basketball player, are you worthy enough of being a top 75 player? Truthfully, honestly, Bill Walton should not be on this list. If anything, you can keep Anthony Davis and you can replace Bill Walton with Dwight Howard. Bill Walton, for his career, averaged 13.3 points a game, 10.5 rebounds, 3.4 assists, 2.2 blocks a game. He was a very good player. Unfortunately for Bill Walton, he was always hurt. He had injury problems. He had bad legs and bad feet. Even the year he won MVP in 1978, he only played 58 games that season. And he was, you know, a role player for half of his career because of all those injuries. He was out for a long time. He couldn't physically get on the court. And then he found himself in Boston and was able to win Sixth Man of the Year playing for arguably the greatest single-season basketball team of all time, the 85-86 Boston Celtics. He had a nice career, but is he top 75 based solely off his NBA accolades? I would say no. So you can keep Anthony Davis, get rid of Bill Walton, and add Dwight Howard to that list in his place. I will say that. As much respect and admiration as I have for the great Bill Walton, a basketball lifer, a guy who was undoubtedly one of the greatest college basketball players of all time. No question about that. If you want to put together a list of the top 75 greatest college basketball players, then yes, Bill Walton deserves to be on that list, probably top five. The only other big man who was better than him was another UCLA Bruin, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who at that point was known as Lew Alcindor. Bill Walton is a phenomenal college basketball player, but in the NBA, and it's not his fault, but all the injuries took away his greatness and robbed him of his prime. And to that, I would say, are you really a top 75 player? I mean, the injuries did happen. It's reality. It's unfortunate, but it's reality. Is Bill Walton really a top 75 player? I would say no. I'd put Dwight Howard in his place. I would also put Bernard King in his place. Bernard King didn't even make the top 50 team. He was snubbed from that team. But I would say that Bernard King had a better NBA career than Bill Walton did. Both those brothers should be on the top 75 as opposed to Bill Walton. Now, finally, let's finish with my biggest problem and issue with the 75 list. And this was ESPN doing their own ranking of all 75 players from 75 to number one. I take great issue. I take great exception. Let's bring this full circle. The aforementioned, the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant being ranked number 10 on this list. I emphatically disagree with that. Number 10, for me personally, he's top three. And that's just, you know, there's a lot of things go into this. It's recency bias. It's also ageism that goes into this. I'm 36. I didn't see half these guys play in their prime. I did not see Elgin Baylor play. I did not see Will Chamberlain play or Jerry West or the great Bill Russell or anyone who predates 1991. I never saw them play for real. I never really saw Larry Bird play, to be honest. When I started watching basketball, Larry Bird was on the end of his career. He had back problems. He was always laying down on the floor in the middle of games. I saw Larry Bird play 1.5 years of NBA basketball, to be 100% transparent about it. I know about these guys from being a basketball nerd and a basketball historian, but I never really saw them play in their prime. But for Kobe Bryant, I saw him play in his prime, as I detailed earlier. And there's a certain affinity and affection that I'll always have, a love and a respect that I'll always have for Kobe Bryant as a basketball player and the way he played the game and his approach to the game and everything else. And for me, I cannot reconcile Kobe only being number 10 on that list. And I'll just go ahead and say a name that I would say Kobe is better than: Magic Johnson. That might be controversial, and once again, I'll admit my bias. But I'm just saying, when people talk about the all-time greatest Lakers, they just automatically name Magic as number one. And I'm like, other than passing and rebounding, what did Magic Johnson do better than Kobe Bryant on the basketball court? Court vision, that coincides with passing. Other than passing the basketball and rebounding, what did Magic Johnson do better than Kobe Bryant? Was he a better scorer? No. Was he a better shooter? No. Was he a better one-on-one defender? No. Was he more athletic? No. Did he have better footwork? No. Now, people hear me say that, and they've tried to argue with me and say, well, Magic was a better leader. Well, how do you know? How do we quantify that? Both men won 5 championships. How can you say that one guy was a better leader than the other one? They both won the same amount of championships. Magic might have been a nicer guy, at least on the exterior, but he was still just as cutthroat about winning as Kobe was. He still cared as much about winning as Kobe did. If you were slacking off, if you weren't doing your job, I'd assume he'd still say something to you about it. Kobe was an asshole, call it what it is. Kobe was aloof most of the time. He wasn't the most friendly guy out there. He was hard on people. Kobe played at a certain level himself, and he expected you to play at the same level. Kobe prepared at a certain level. Kobe had a certain work ethic. Kobe worked out at a certain level. He expected you to do the same exact thing, if not even more. The talent and the work ethic all matched each other, and what it made was an all-time great, phenomenal basketball player. And to me, I think 10 is way too low. I would put Kobe ahead of Tim Duncan. I'd put Kobe ahead of Oscar Robertson. I'd put Kobe ahead of everyone on that list except Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I'd put Kobe ahead of LeBron James. Been saying that for a long time. Same thing with LeBron. What individually does LeBron do better than Kobe Bryant? Is he a better scorer? No. Is he a better shooter? No. Is he a better one-on-one defender? No. He's more athletic. I'll give him that. LeBron, to me, is the greatest athlete that I've ever seen play basketball. He's 6'9", 250. He's the same size as Karl Malone, and he moves like a guard. LeBron James is the greatest athlete I've ever seen play basketball, not the greatest player. That's Michael Jordan. But back to Kobe, and back to the Kobe versus Magic conversation / debate. Another guy tried telling me that I was arguing this point with this past week. A guy tried telling me that Magic had more career accolades. He had a better resume than Kobe Bryant. Did he really? Kobe was an 11-time All-NBA first-team player. Magic was 9. Kobe was an 18-time All-Star. Magic was 12. Magic was a 3-time MVP and a 3-time Finals MVP. Kobe got 1 MVP and a 2-time Finals MVP. But in my opinion, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, Steve Nash is walking around with 2 of Kobe Bryant's league MVP awards. Kobe Bryant led a Los Angeles Lakers team with guys like Chris Mim and Smush Parker and Brian Cook and Lamar Odom and Sasha Vujacic and Jordan Farmar and Kwame Brown. He led that team to the playoffs and averaged 35.4 points per game in doing so, and did this in an era where defense was still allowed to be played in the NBA. During an era of hand-checking, during an era where a typical NBA basketball game finished with a final score of 92-87, and this guy single-handedly was averaging 35 points per game, playing with people who could not score. The defense was always concentrated on Kobe, and yet he still averaged 35 points a game. I'll admit my bias, but to me, Steve Nash is walking around with 2 of Kobe Bryant's NBA League MVP awards, and the reason he wasn't given those awards is because of the fallout from what happened in Colorado in 2004. That has nothing to do with actual basketball. But as it stands, Magic is a 3-time MVP. Kobe only won 1. Magic a 3-time Finals MVP. Kobe had 2. But here's the tiebreaker for me. Here's what really puts Kobe over the top of Magic Johnson. Pause if necessary. Kobe was a 9-time first-team All-NBA defensive player. Magic was a 0-time first-team All-NBA defensive player. Defense is a part of basketball. When people have these conversations, all they want to talk about is offense. How many points you score? How many rebounds you get? How many assists? What about defense? Is defense not a part of basketball? Kobe was the best two-way player in the NBA for close to a decade. His peers often spoke about him being the most skilled basketball player they ever played against. So if you're the best two-way player in your sport for over a decade, and if you're the most skilled player in the NBA, and when you retired, You were third on the all-time NBA scoring list. How are you not at least top five? Do people still hate Kobe Bryant that much? The man's dead. He's no longer with us. He's gone. He's below the ground. Do people still hate this man? Because I know for a fact people could not stand Kobe when he was alive. People even now talk about Kobe Bryant like he was Rasul Butler or Deshaun Stevenson or Bonzi Wells or someone. They talk about him like he's some run-of-the-mill, ordinary player, like he's Mario Chalmers or someone. Mo Williams, Larry Hughes, Antonio Daniels. I don't know. You can keep going all day. That's how people talk about Kobe Bryant, like he was a nobody. Just some dude. Oh, Shaq carried him to his first three championships. He didn't do anything. Okay. Go watch the games and then go look at the numbers and then report back to me. Kobe is a top five player. And this is all opinion. This is all subjective. But I just fail to understand how a guy can be viewed as the most skilled player in the sport, the best two-way player, and have all the results and accolades that he accumulated and not be regarded as at least a top five player. I just have a hard time dealing with that. And I think a lot of people still have resentment towards Kobe Bryant for whatever reason, whether it be he was too cocky, too arrogant, he reminded you too much of Jordan, you didn't like all the Jordan comparisons, you don't like the Lakers, you can't stand Los Angeles, you thought he was too much hype, you're a LeBron fan, and you just scoff at the notion of anyone being better than LeBron. So many LeBron fans have so much hate and vitriol for Kobe and for Jordan because those two guys are usually talked about as being better than LeBron. And this never-ending, ongoing, incessant argument about who's the GOAT, who's the greatest player of all time. Spoiler alert, the GOAT is Michael Jeffrey Jordan, 6'6", from North Carolina, number 23, the original 23, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. But all this Kobe Bryant slander, to me, doesn't make any sense. I saw this fucking tap-dancing jigaboo, this Sambo, this porch monkey, this coon, Marcellus Wiley on his dumbass show on Speak for Yourself. How funny of a title for a show is that? Two brothers on a show on Fox Sports Net titled Speak for Yourself. Y'all brothers ain't speaking for yourself. Y'all brothers do and say what them white folks behind the camera tell y'all to do and say. You're not speaking for yourself. But Marcellus Wiley goes on there in his infinite wisdom. Los Angeles Clipper fan, by the way, Marcellus Wiley. And says that Kobe doesn't belong in the top 10 because he missed so many shots. He was an inefficient player. You know what Kobe did at an efficient rate? Win championships. 5 out of 7, he won championships. For his career, he's a 44% shooter from the field. You know what Kobe Bryant's position was? Because special ed students such as Marcellus Wiley love bringing up the fact that he missed the most shots in NBA history. Do you know what Kobe's position was? A shooting guard. Emphasis on the word shooting. Marcellus said that Kobe was 32nd amongst all guards in assists. How many of those guards ahead of him are point guards? As far as shooting guards are concerned, he's top 5 in assists. No matter what metric you want to look at this as, he's a top 5 player. As you can tell, I just feel a certain way about that. Jordan, correctly, was number 1, as I've already said. No arguments here. I mean, that's Michael Jordan. And people can, you know, same thing. People jump through hoops and come up with all these ridiculous-ass angles and stupid talking points. Well, you know, you guys always say that Jordan, all he did was win. Well, Jordan played 15 years and only won 6 championships, so he was a 9-time loser. It's typically LeBron fans who will talk that way. Well, let's apply that same logic to your favorite basketball player. He's been in the NBA 19 years and is only a 4-time champion. So if Jordan is a 9-time loser, that makes LeBron a 15-time loser. So your logic doesn't work. It sounds stupid, it's idiotic, it's nonsensical, illogical. You sound and look like an absolute dunce for even saying something like that. Well, what about when Jordan lost all those games and playoff series early in his career? He didn't win a championship then. You guys always want to make it about championships. No one goes perfect for their entire career. Jordan lost to, as I said earlier, arguably the greatest single season basketball team who ever was assembled, the 86 Boston Celtics, in a series he was not favored to win, where he's playing alongside such luminaries as Dave Corzine, World Be Free, Charles Oakley, and Reggie Theus, and a prehistoric George Gervin towards the end of his career. What was he supposed to do in that series? He wasn't favored to win. He was supposed to lose. Oh, those Pistons. The Pistons always beat him up. He didn't beat Detroit until Detroit got old. Well, he beat him, though, didn't he? The 91 Pistons got their asses kicked in four games by the 91 Chicago Bulls, and a dynasty was born. You got people like Isaiah Thomas, who's still holding on to a grudge, still bitter about not being on the 92 Dream Team, still mad at Michael Jordan. It is what, a part of me respects that, because I appreciate petty behavior as a petty person myself. A part of me is like, dude, let it go, man. It's been 30 years now. Get over it. Let it go. It's never going to be forgotten, though. Isaiah, unfortunately, is going to take that to his grave. He's never going to forgive Michael Jordan for not being on that 92 Dream Team and for Christian Laettner, of all people, to make that team and not Isaiah Thomas. I agree. Isaiah Thomas, I'm with you on this one. You should have been on that team. Certainly not Christian Laettner. But what's done is done. It's 30 years ago. It's over now. You can't just retroactively fix it. It's over. Move the fuck on. But that, like I said, I'm a petty person. I hold on to certain grudges. I kind of understand where Isaiah's coming from with this. But the fact remains, the Pistons had their little run. They won two championships. And then Chicago beat the shit out of them and ended them and then went on a better run and won six championships in 8 years. Michael Jordan dominated the 90s. All-time great NBA basketball players such as Patrick Ewing, Reggie Miller, John Stockton, Karl Malone couldn't win a championship because of Michael Jordan. Hakeem Olajuwon snuck in and got two when Jordan was playing baseball and swinging and missing at curveballs in Birmingham, Alabama. David Robinson had to hold on to almost the end of his career after Jordan retired a second time to finally get two championships in 99 and 2003. But besides that, other than that, Barkley, another guy, another casualty of the Jordan era. Great Hall of Fame players couldn't win when Jordan was playing and once he reached his prime and once he got a team around him. That alone separates him from everyone else. No other player in the modern era, from about 1980 to right now, has dominated the sport more than Michael Jordan did. Six-time NBA Finals champion in six finals appearances, six-time NBA Final MVP, 10 scoring titles, five-time league MVP. More people have been shot over his shoes than any other player. He is the GOAT. And that's that. That's how I feel about that top 75 list. One more note about that Kobe and Magic argument. From 2008 to 2010, Kobe Bryant defeated more 50-win teams in a three-year span, than Magic Johnson did for his whole career. I forgot to mention that earlier, so I'll throw it on right now towards the end of this podcast. Kobe Bryant defeated more 50-win teams in a three-year span than Magic Johnson did his entire career. Starting in 2007, 2008, Kobe led the Lakers to a victory over the Denver Nuggets in the first round, a 50-win Denver Nuggets team, 50-32 in the first round. In the second round, they beat the Utah Jazz, a 54-win team, Utah Jazz. In the finals, the Western Conference Finals, they beat a 56-win defending NBA champion San Antonio Spurs team in five games to get to the finals, where we unfortunately lost to the Boston Celtics. Coming back next year, 2008-2009, they beat the Denver Nuggets in the conference finals, a 54-win team, Denver Nuggets squad. Also, in 2009-2010, the next year, they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, a 50-win team in the first round, swept the Utah Jazz in the second round. Utah won 53 games that year. In the Western Conference Finals that year, the Lakers beat a 54-28 Phoenix Suns squad. Magic's Lakers in 79-80, beat a 55-win Phoenix Suns team in the semifinals, beat a 56-win Seattle Supersonics team also in that year. 82-83, the Lakers beat a 53-win Spurs team in the conference finals, and 84-85, a 52-win Denver Nuggets team in the Western Conference Finals. 87-88, beat a 53-win Dallas Mavericks team in the Western Conference Finals. 88-89, swept Phoenix in 4-0 in the Western Conference Finals, a 55-win team Phoenix had that season. In 90, 3-0 in the first round back in the day when the first round was only a best 3 out of 5. They beat a 52-30 Houston Rockets team in 90-91 in the Western Conference Finals, I should say, beat a 63-win Portland Trail Blazers team 4-2 in the Conference Finals to get to the NBA Finals, where they eventually lost to Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls for the Bulls' first championship. I say all that to say this, just revisiting that Kobe-Magic argument to put a button on that one. Kobe, in a 3-year span, beat more 50-win teams than Magic did for his entire career. And Kobe did that playing alongside guys, none of which are on the NBA's top 75 list. Magic had Worthy and Kareem. Kobe played, the best player he played alongside of was Pau Gasol. Everyone else was guys like Andrew Bynum and Vujicic and Farmar and Vladimir Radmanovic and Slava Medvedenko, as Stephen A. Smith would say. Just random-ass guys, Luke Walton, Trevor Ariza, my man DJ Benga, just random-ass dudes. And Kobe led those teams to victories over multiple 50-win teams. To put a button on all this, to wrap this whole thing up, Kobe Bryant was better than Magic Johnson. Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. Bill Walton should not be on the top 75 list. Dwight Howard should take his place. And Tracy McGrady was a cunt hair better than Damian Lillard. That is my summary. That is my opinion of the NBA's top 75 list. It's all in good fun. Respect to all these guys. These are icons. These are legends. These are the greatest basketball players of all time. So much admiration and love and affinity and respect and just everything about these guys. Hold these guys up in the highest regard. I'm a lifelong basketball fan, and I think very highly of everyone I've talked about. Even, you know, I say Kobe's better than Magic, I think very highly of Magic. I have nothing derogatory or negative to say about Magic Johnson. I just think Kobe Bryant was a slightly better basketball player. That's all. People think I hate LeBron James. I don't hate LeBron James. I say LeBron is the third best basketball player I've ever watched. I've watched a lot of people play basketball. Being third best is pretty impressive. There's nothing wrong with that. If LeBron's the third best player I ever watched, I think that's something to be proud of. But that's just, it's all opinion. It's all what you think. Let me know what you think. You can cuss me out and call me a fucking idiot. I don't care. That's just what I think. It's my podcast, damn it. And that concludes this particular episode of the Dion Gordon Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Eternally grateful, always humble, very much appreciative. Until next time, picture me rolling. I'm out.